Today is the sixth Sunday of Easter. The readings are from Psalm 98 and the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. Today's message is titled, Real Joy is Mine, Even if Teardrops Fall. Hear the word of the Lord from Psalm 98. Sing to the Lord a new song. For he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. Here ends our first lesson, the Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 15, beginning at the 9th verse. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, God of inconceivable power, incomprehensible glory, immeasurable mercy, unspeakable kindness, look on us in your tender love and show your rich mercy and compassion to us and those who pray with us. Amen. Today's message theme comes from the bridge, or sometimes people call it the chorus, from the song, Happiness is the Lord. A song that we will be singing in a moment this morning, following the preaching of this word to you. The composer of the song is Ira Stanfill, an evangelist, a preacher, Bible teacher. Another of his memorable compositions that you may have sung is I Know Who Holds Tomorrow, which he wrote in the depths of depression following his wife divorcing him in the late 1940s. Ira forgave her and tried to reconcile with her, but she would not reconcile with him. Unfortunately and tragically, she was killed in a car accident just a few years later, which caused Ira to ponder what was happening and what will come in his life's direction. As Ira's heart and head were being hounded, yes, hounded with deep sadness, one day while driving to his church, he was pouring out his feelings to the Lord. And during that drive, a song sprung into him. Though the answers did not come, trust in God. Total trust in God. The Lord God came. And that's what Ira truly needed. The song that was born to him that day in that drive to his church was, I know who holds tomorrow. And in the song, you'll find these key words. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Other experiences in Ira's life would give birth to many more songs about happiness. Is the Lord, Ira Stanfield said he wrote it for no particular reason other than the truth of the title. Happiness is the Lord. Real joy is mine. No matter if teardrops start, I found the secret. It's Jesus in my heart. What are you running after to find joy in your life? What are you chasing to bring that emotional reaction? Joy. Joy when things go well, you're happy. And when things go sour, things go south, things go bad, well, you're sad. That's the way we're wired naturally as human beings. But if you want something more, something that is supernatural beyond the normal way one is wired to act and respond, then you need Jesus. You need the Lord to take up residence in your heart so deep, so much deeper than the flighty feelings of life. The Lord as Savior taking up residence deep and unshakable in your soul. Unshakable. That is when real joy takes up residence. Joy that still abounds no matter if teardrops start. Joy that can stay, that can stand with strong confidence. Joy that still abounds no matter what. Joy that is there with confidence and conviction in the midst of bitterness of pain. You can still say, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. And take hold of the hope that is truly there because that joy is there. Psalm 98 begins with singing. Singing to the Lord, for the Lord has done marvelous things. What is that marvelous thing the Lord has done? His right hand and His holy arm have worked salvation. Psalm 98, verses 1 through 3. Sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm have worked salvation for Him. The Lord has made His salvation known and revealed His righteousness to the nations. He has remembered His love and His faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Key words, salvation, made known, revealed, righteousness, love, faithfulness. What is the response in the people to whom the Lord has brought salvation? Shout for joy. Burst into jubilant song. Make music. There's a deep place inside his soul that makes a connection between music and the Spirit. Watching the rocket's red glare and wondering if the flag was still there, Francis Scott Key had to put the emotion he was feeling into words. Would the nation still be free? Did Fort McHenry survive the brutal British bombardment? Yes, our flag was still there. To which Francis Scott Key gave the faith assessment Yes, the faith assessment of the situation when he wrote in the fourth stanza of his poem, he wrote, "Heaven rescued land." And he also wrote, "This our motto be, in God is our trust." Many musicians compose from life experiences. David, the shepherd boy, burst forth in words to express what was in his heart, and his songs calmed the soul of King David many a times. Music has the ability to bring forth the extraordinary power to evoke emotion and move a person deep, deep inside. You be the judge. Which is more powerful, speaking the words or singing the words, as you hear the great Shema? Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. It's the singing, the words with the singing that bring forth the soul to the living God. What does a carefree and a happy child do as they're strolling along in play? You find them singing a happy tune from their heart. And though what you hear seems to be syllables of nonsense, the joy of the child is singing forth. Want to memorize something? Put it to a song. When in sixth grade I was in the Prince George's County Chorus over in Maryland, and I learned the song 50, Nifty United States. That song helped me memorize the 50 states in alphabetical order. I can still sing that song to this day, and it's 45 years later. And I can recall other songs I sang with that county chorus too. The English title of Psalms, it comes from the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Hebrew, Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures of the time, which is the Old Testament for us. The meaning of the Greek is sacred song sung to musical accompaniment. That's what the word psalm really means. Sacred song sung to musical accompaniment. The Hebrew title is Tehillim, meaning praises. Picture praises. These psalms, picture things, praises, these psalms as Israel's God-breathed hymn book. Or I invite you to recall in your mind and picture in mind our own Beth chanting Psalm 22 as the altar is stripped on Maundy Thursday. In Psalm 98, what is the response to the reality of salvation? Shout for joy. Make music. Shout for joy before the Lord. Why should one respond in such manner? Salvation. It's salvation is ours. Not only us shout and sing for joy, let all of creation join in the jubilation. The sea resound, the rivers clap their hands, the mountains sing for joy. They must sing bass because they're so big. For salvation is ours. Ours in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Knowing that salvation with an inner conviction is what remains and sustains joy, no matter what happens in life. Let us turn our attention to the gospel reading for today from John chapter 15. And in this reading, we hear of Jesus speaking about joy being in us, joy that is complete. John chapter 15, verses 9 through 11. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Notice first where the love is. Pay attention to whose love comes first. The love of the Father. the Father's love for the Son. Holy, perfect love. That same love, that very same love is the love the Son has for us, for you. Abide in that love. Remain in that love. Live in that love. How? How is it possible to abide? How is it possible to live in that love the Father has for the Son has for you? The key to abiding, the key to living in this love is obedience. Yes, obedience. Just as the Son obeyed the Father and remained in the Father's love, you and I are to live in the same manner. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Joy! There it is! Joy! It's there, right there again. The exact same Greek word in Hebrews 12, verse 2, is in John chapter 15 that we read. Joy! Joy! Even though the cross was before him, Jesus held on to the joy. And the cross before him was about the greatest of suffering that any man would ever suffer. That's what was before Jesus, and there was joy. The greatest of suffering, for only Jesus was suffering the excruciating cruelty of the cross, along with the Father placing upon him the fullness of all sin. Something we cannot comprehend. The fullness of sin was placed on Christ. He was suffering on the cross, that excruciating cruelty of the cross. That's suffering enough. But then, for our redemption, for our salvation, the Father placed on him all sin. And joy is there. The reality of joy is there. For the ultimate truth is, Jesus will conquer. Conquer it all. Sin, death, and the devil. He would conquer them, and he will rise, and he will sit at the right hand of the Father. For the joy saw the salvation that would be won through his suffering. And joy can be yours. Real joy can be yours by walking as Jesus walked in obedience. I ask you, really think this one through. Break any of the Ten Commandments. By breaking the commandments, will you find joy? I've known bedhoppers, people going through one relationship after another, serial one-night stands, and the thrill of the moment has not brought them joy. As a matter of fact, the more they try to chase after joy in those relationship after relationship after relationship, the reality is the more joyless they become. Does stealing lead to joy, true joy, or looting lead to true joy? Does envy in your heart, does covetedness, does that bring joy? How long did the joy of that last purchase you made last? How long did that, I must have it, that item, oh, I must have it, till the next time an item comes along and you go, I must have it, and the former is set aside and gathers dust in the basement. John 15, verse 11, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. The Greek word here, translated as complete, can also be translated as full. And though the English translation has that word may be complete, the verb tense carries this meaning, a definite outcome that will happen as a result of another stated action. Your joy will be complete. It's not a possible result. It is the definite outcome. This will happen. Your joy will be made to the fullness of full depths inside of you, such that you could contain no more. And you can burst into song. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Because I got the wonderful love of my blessed Redeemer way down in the depths of my heart. Now try to sing that one faster. I mean, that's the joy we're talking about here. This joy will be in you. This kind of joy comes, like John chapter 15, verse 10 says, takes place in your life. John 15, verse 10, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. These commands are the revealed will of the Lord God, recorded in the Scriptures, guiding us. Guiding you, guiding me in the way to live reverently before the holy Lord God. God who loves us. Summarizing the Ten Commandments is loving God and loving the neighbor. You can find it in Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert of the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment of the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. In other words, all of it is summarized from the law and the prophets in love God with all you are and love your neighbor. Love. The Father loves the Son in the same manner the Son loves us. In like manner, we are to love. Gospel of John chapter 15, verses 12 and 13. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Now, we fall short of that kind of love. We fall. We fail. We fail living out this kind of love. This is then where forgiveness comes in. Forgiveness in Christ. This is where the song from King David helps us understand. It's Psalm 51. You know, when David got caught with Bathsheba, Nathan confronted him. David responded, his heart putting forth Psalm 51. Here's verses 10 through 12. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Restore the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing, meaning obedient, spirit within me. Expressing our love for the Lord is through obedience to the ways of the Lord, and the result is joy in the Lord's salvation. Joy in the Lord's salvation will reside in us, in our spirit, in our souls. Real joy is knowing the forgiveness of sins and salvation in Jesus Christ. Real joy comes through the resulting change in behavior, the self-destructive behaviors that we follow in chasing after happiness, running after that ever-elusive joy that this world says is owed us. Whether it's drugs, money, power, fame, alcohol, promiscuity, all running after the next fix to assuage the suffering in the soul. None of those, nothing of them will bring the joy that truly lasts. Only Christ, who died for your sins, can give you what you are unceasingly searching for, that ever-elusive sensation of unending joy. Unending joy is only in Christ. Joy is yours in Christ. You will be able to say with deep, deep conviction, real joy is mine, even if teardrops fall. For forgiveness of sins will be yours in Christ. You will be a new creation in Christ. Salvation will be yours in Christ. Living a life that's worth living towards a trip that leads to heaven because you are in Christ. Real joy is Jesus, for Jesus is the Christ. This past year has been quite trying to hold on to this joy for me. The impact on ministry, it feels like a tidal wave. A tsunami has swept over the beach and destroyed everything in its path. Then there was that Monday last September when I came home and saw the expression on my wife Heather's face. And seeing her expression, I asked, "Who died?" And then she answered, "Your dad." Though the pain was excruciating deep, deep down, I still held on to that spark of joy. That joy, that real joy, is mine. Years earlier, this summer will be 20 years, but years earlier, when I greeted my cousins in Decorah, I greeted them with, "God is good." And we're gathering for my mom's funeral there in Decorah. This real joy can be yours. It is Jesus, because Jesus is the Christ. Real joy is joy of salvation in Christ the Lord. Mothers, give your children this joy that can only be found in Jesus. Teach them how to live obedient lives to the holy ways of God. Fathers, give this joy to Jesus too. But to do so, you yourself first need to know this real joy resides in you. This joy is your Savior, Jesus the Christ. It is a supernatural joy. It's supernatural joy because it's something this world cannot give you. And it's supernatural joy, meaning this world cannot take it away either, because it's in Jesus who is the Christ. It's a kind of joy this world will not and is incapable of understanding. Real joy is abiding in the love of the Father and of the Son by walking in obedience. A rebellious heart cannot grasp this kind of joy. Only a humbled and obedient heart, a heart surrendered to Christ, a heart redeemed by Christ. This joy in Christ is yours. It is yours. Jesus says, Gospel of John chapter 15, verse 11, "I have told you this, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." For me this morning, I have told you this, so that Christ's joy may be in you and that you will know Christ's joy is complete. It's not a possibility. It's an assured thing to come, because we have salvation in Christ. We will one day be in that place where there is no more sighing, no more crying, no more tears, no more pain, no more suffering, because we will be resurrected. The new bodies in heaven, eternal, forever and ever and ever. That's what salvation means. We will be in the very presence of the living God. And that is joy. Joy inexpressible. So as you walk this earth, in the days the Lord gives you, you can say, "Real joy is mine, even if teardrops fall, because Christ has saved me. Christ has redeemed me. Christ has given me salvation, and I am His forever. That is real joy. Amen and amen.